Welcome, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Marine Parks Talent Talk podcast. I am Mindy Boynton, and today I am talking with Harley Lemquill, the rideshare coordinator at Specialty Cheese Company, located in Reeseville, Wisconsin. We also have our Dean of Economic and Workforce Development, Joanne Hall, here today. We'll start off talking a little bit about our Bridges Out of Poverty Summit that we held last spring for businesses in our Moraine Park District to help them learn different resources and gather information on workplace stability. Joanne, could you tell us a little bit about that event and some of the resources and how this ties to the rideshare program at Specialty Cheese?
Absolutely, Mindy. Now, when we really wanted to think about what the workforce challenges of today were, what we were hearing from our employers pretty consistently was that they could bring people in, but they were having a hard time getting them to stay. So what we opted to do here at Moraine Park is bring in some national speakers from the AHA process, who are national experts in workplace stability and in dealing with poverty in the workplace, primarily for those entry-level employees. So last spring, we brought two speakers in. We had about 100 people in the room to hear what some of the national best practices were. But more importantly, what it did is it introduced our workplace community to the issues that employees who are at those entry-level wages are having with regard to food stability and housing stability and transportation stability. So Specialty Cheese was one of those companies that attended that workplace summit, and we were excited to have them there and really to hear about what they've done with this rideshare program since learning about workplace stability and the issues of that workplace demographic, I think is really exciting. So Harley, thank you for coming. We're really excited to have you here today.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much.
So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about Specialty Cheese and about the rideshare program, how it got started?
Yeah, no, I would love to. So Specialty Cheese is a small family-owned business located in Reeseville, Wisconsin, as you guys said. It's about like 15 minutes south of Beaver Dam. It's a nice little drive, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, real cute little town. There's about, I want to say, a couple thousand people who live there, so little small community, and we have about 250 employees. Our employees come from all over Dodge County. A lot of our people live in town, but we do have a lot of people from Beaver Dam, from Watertown, and as well as from Fond du Lac driving down to work for us. We specialize in ethnic cheeses, so we make Middle Eastern style, Mexican style, Eastern European style cheeses, as well as being the number one producer of paneer, which is the cheese that Indians use for a lot of their ethnic dishes in the United States, which is pretty exciting for a tiny little place in the middle of Wisconsin. It's pretty great. We also make a dried cheese product called Just the Cheese. It's a crunchy little snack bar that's only made out of cheese, so it's really, really popular with low-carb diet.
And then how did the rideshare program get started at Specialty Cheese?
So the rideshare program, was really the brainchild of Paul. So he saw, when he looked out at the community and at his community of workers, that there was a lot of issues with reliability around transportation for his current employees, as well as new hires who were coming in who would just not show up after the first like week or two due to issues with the car or the fact that they had their mom or their friend or this, that, or the other thing driving them to their interview, but then wouldn't be able to help them out afterwards when the schedule became a little bit more strict. So what he did is he looked around and he said, well, this is obviously an issue. And he spoke with a friend of his that he's known for a while named Jeff Stoltman to help search out some other solutions or see what sorts of things we could be doing personally and within ourselves to fix this problem. Jeff Stoltman worked with the Commute to Careers program in Dane County, specifically with their Department of Workforce Development in Dane County, as well as with the Easter Seals program. And we received a grant from the Easter Seals as well as from the state of Wisconsin to help start this program, as well as to expand it to other businesses in the area. So this program started out, it was really, really small when it started. We had one driver, he had a big van, he used to drive the Amish actually, so he would drive all over the countryside picking up the Amish, bringing them to work, bringing them to school, bringing them to this, that, or the other thing. And he was kind of looking for a change. I mean, he is closer to retirement age and all of his kids are a little bit older. So he was looking for something a little less intense and a little more stable because the Amish can sometimes, you know, not work one day, work this day, that, and the other thing. So we found him just out of chance, kind of fell into our laps. He just fell right into our laps. So we started with a group of 12 people who live in Beaver Dam. He would drive to their house every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. All is dark. Pick them up. Drive them to work. So they'd be there by 5 in the morning to work their shift. And then in the afternoon, as soon as their shift was over, he'd be outside waiting to pick them up and take them home. That was in January of 2017, I believe. It's 2 years ago, right? So since then, the program has grown to encompass 70 employees total on a weekly basis. So about 70 people use the service every single day, which is amazing and insane.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. So it's about, I want to say it's a little more than a quarter of our employment. Something, if I can do math in my head quickly. So it's, you know, sizable chunk. We have 10 drivers who drive to Watertown, Beaver Dam, and Fond du Lac, picking up employees. And they service all three of our shifts. So employees who work first, second, and third shift can all receive the service about 24 hours a day whenever they need to come to and from work.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So when we think about that, so you mentioned the Commute to Careers, right? That was a regional initiative. So in the Oshkosh area had that as well. And that was something that got talked about at that Bridges Summit. The other thing that was talked about was in more populated areas, people using Uber, right? So I think what you've really done in the Beaver Dam area, Dodge County area, you kind of created your own little Uber program.
Which is amazing, yeah. And the thing is that Uber and Lyft, they exist out there, but when we looked at it, there's about 2 drivers in all of Dodge County, you know. So it's really not a useful service in that it just doesn't have the same level of coverage that another service could be providing. And the other issue is that the taxis and other sorts of services which are in that area only operate within the city limits. So if there's an emergency or something happens to your car, you can't really get to work with those sorts of backup plans. So this program was really created to fill in that gap. It works only because we provide a subsidy for our employees. So what we do is we only charge $3 a trip for all of the employees, and now it's $4. It was $3 when it started, and now it's $4. So they pay $8 a day to come to and from work every day.
That is a great impact. Can you share any specific success stories or how this has impacted the company since implementing 2 years ago? What changes have you seen?
Well, one of the really big things is that we have, like I said before, we have the Just the Cheese product, which is a little crunchy snack bar, that sort of thing. That whole team of people who works there is mostly line workers, and it's mostly women between like 20 to 40 years old, you know, that sort of age demographic. And the only reason we were able to staff that shift successfully was because we were offering this service to the women who live in one-car families. If you look at the statistics, we, before or about halfway through the rideshare program, we initiated with the Gathering Source in Reeseville, a survey of the area, community needs survey, about what people were experiencing as difficulties or issues in their lives in general. So it asked questions about just about everything. And what we found from that was that in Dodge County, there's about a one car to every household ratio, more or less. And what that told us is that a lot of women weren't able to be getting to work because their husband was using the car, or the family didn't have a second reliable car or a second form of transportation for them. So it was allowed us to essentially create this product and work and make sure that our product was successful for our business, but also so that about 25 people could secure and maintain employment as a result of having secure transportation, which is super amazing.
That is amazing. So do you have retention numbers for your organization?
Unfortunately, I don't have exact retention numbers. I will say that for most of our people who are in our rideshare program, they well exceed our normal retention rate. Almost all of the people who are in the program have been in it since the beginning. So all of my people, my 12 original people, are still riding with it every day. They still use it every single day, which is amazing and great.
So Harley, in previous conversations, you had shared now that you have a waiting list of potential employees, which is just incredible because most of the businesses I'm meeting with are really struggling to find labor. Could you talk a little bit more about that impact?
Well, like I said before, with this program, it really, really affects the families that are one-car families in Dodge County, especially the people who, or even the no-car families who are living in Dodge County. A lot of those people want to work, but they just simply can't because they don't have a way to get to and from work. They don't even have a way to get to an interview. So what we have provided is we provided for our people free transportation if they call us or they contact us to come and fill out an application, even not even for an interview appointment. So I will bring in people from Beaver Dam or Watertown for free as long as it coincides with our regular schedule for our employees. They can fill out an application and they can head back with somebody else the next time that they're leaving the plant, which is usually, you know, it's about every hour or so we've got someone coming to or from the plant. with the rideshare program.
Oh, wow. So you're not only providing transportation to employees, but also prospective employees?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to have this sort of program provided for our employees trying to get new employees if we weren't offering it to people on their way in the door. It's also, in my mind, it's part of being kind and giving back to the community for the people who are looking for work in the area. It doesn't really make sense to make it more difficult to apply or to show up for an interview if we're going to be providing that service later on. You know what I mean?
And how many do you have on the waiting list today?
Currently, it's probably about 50 people looking for a similar type position. So it's mostly line workers or people who are looking for those entry-level positions, which is, you know, it's really, really great that we're having a list of about 50 people waiting to get in.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. So what advice would you give other companies wanting to start a transportation program or another type of resource that might be untraditional to private sector?
Well, what we're actually doing, part of the grant that we got from the state of Wisconsin is for expansion of this program. So what Paul Scharfman, I, and Jeff Stoltman are working on currently is creating sort of a service package to offer to other businesses in the area. What it'll be is you would be able to run your own, say you have another business that's, you know, up the road from Specialty Cheese, a different factory, similar type employees or employment. What we would do is we would organize the infrastructure to help provide you with drivers or with assistance in finding employees in that manner and build up that transportation infrastructure in your own place using our resources. And we would have you contributing the same way that we contribute to our employees and setting your own subsidies for your employees, essentially. So you could choose to subsidize the same rate that Specialty Cheese subsidizes at, or you could subsidize more or less, depending on what your needs are.
Great. You also mentioned you had done some community surveys of needs. You utilized grants. So for those companies who might not be able to partner with you, what are some steps to get started with offering, finding out what resources their employees or prospective employees could need? And Joanne, if you wanted to pipe in, what are some of the other resources that we're hearing about?
What we're finding, too, is that companies don't even know where to start in that conversation. So was it scary a little bit to start those conversations with your employees? Did you feel like you were getting a little bit out of the normal conversation? Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think for our company, Paul has a very different way of kind of looking at these issues. What he did is he started, I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago, doing trainings about emotional intelligence for our management staff. And what comes out of that is you sit down and you have this sort of structure you set up where you make a person feel safe, completely and unembeddedly safe in the situation. It allows them to kind of share with you whatever their feelings are, independent of how they're worried you're going to react. So what he does is he sets up that space with his supervisors to have those sorts of difficult conversations with people. So even though he doesn't like the responses, they still feel comfortable to give it to him because they know that he's not going to react negatively or he's not going to treat them poorly or retaliate for them telling him things about, like, Paul, your business isn't paying enough so we can't afford our groceries, or Paul, you're doing this and it's affecting our lives personally, or the people don't work here because you're not doing enough. When you say those sorts of things, people can sometimes get frustrated, or business owners can feel personally responsible, and that can impede the process of success or looking for solutions. And working on those sorts of emotional intelligence activities that we've done with our team to help make us realize it's not always personal when we talk about these sorts of issues. It's not always directly our fault, and that we have to work together as opposed to trying to take blame or move blame around to find solutions to these sorts of problems.
Well, and you used a great word. I love when you use the word solution. So Mindy, your question was what other resources might be available? Typically, the workforce development boards in the regions have access to information about how they might be able to work with companies to help. That Commute to Careers is a great example. That's actually grant money that came through the state of Wisconsin through the workforce boards and made it available in the regions. But I really like the fact that you tapped the Easter Seals and looked for additional grant monies. Those are all resources. There are so many different organizations that provide free resources, especially when we're talking about things like financial literacy for this group that we're talking about. The Financial Literacy Council actually does that for free. And will come into organizations and do training for employees in that, as well as for your management team to help your employees. Mm-hmm. So I think the workforce boards and some of the grant agencies, some of those United Way, some of those nonprofit agencies where businesses maybe didn't tap in the past are really great ways, Mindy, for people to start to at least find out what's all out there and see if, based on the needs that they have for their employees, is there a match? Mm-hmm. But I really love, Harley, that you use the word trying to find solutions for those folks, because that's mm-hmm. really what it is. As business leaders, we're not expecting you to be experts in all of those things. It's really about making connections, and really as a community, how do we help those people who need it the most?
That is fantastic. And the financial literacy, I know, is a conversation that we're having, that you're looking at bringing to Specialty Cheese on site, utilizing some of Marine Park's resources, mm-hmm. like our ELL program. Can you talk about what other type of programs are you looking at offering your employees to help them be successful? What types of solutions, like childcare or AODA? I know you're exploring a lot of different things. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, so we're currently working right now. The big push is in two different places. We're looking at childcare as a possible solution. So we do see that a lot of people in our community, in our area, especially the people who are experiencing lower employment numbers, are dealing with maybe two childcare providers within 35 minutes of our factory, and that's in the middle of the county, like almost smack dab in the middle. So it's really just a completely underserviced area. But no, we've been working with a coalition of other like-minded businesses and childcare providers in the Watertown area, talking about childcare in the area. And the word she uses is desert. It's a childcare desert out in Dodge County. There's really no service providers. The only ones that are out there are too expensive, and we can't find people to work in these sorts of situations, or we can't find employees to work for the childcare facilities even. So they're really struggling as an industry on their own in this area. So we're, you know, in the middle of talking with them about possible solutions in the area. We haven't really gotten too far in those conversations, but we're very interested in working with other childcare providers in the area or other businesses in the area to try and work on solutions for that issue. The other big push that we're working on right now is we're working directly with one of our employees who has specialized training in not just the emotional intelligence topics I was talking about earlier, but with the management of people. So we have a very common experience, I think, for a lot of smaller businesses or family-run businesses or just industry in general, where you have a lot of entry-level employees coming in to work on your like line techs and those sorts of things, where our supervisors we promote are all promoted based on being really, really good at being a line worker. So you're really good at putting cheese in a bag, or you're really, really good at raking stuff up, or you're on time every day, or you're these very, very normal parts of those sorts of line work jobs or those frontline positions being promoted into management areas and not really understanding how to handle that. So they sometimes don't have good temperament with our employees. Sometimes they react volatilely without thinking about it. And it's really not any of their fault, because we haven't worked with them to provide them the specialized training for being good managers and helping our people feel welcome when they're at work, as well as mentoring our other frontline employees. So what we're doing is we're working with someone who's been specially trained in how to work with line employees or people who work in factory settings to help bring up our management team to a higher level of working with our people and more personal skills for people who just aren't used to having those in the workplace.
Well, that's interesting, because there's a lot of folks who are, right, you get promoted because you're really good technically at what you do. So that sometimes becomes a real challenge, mm-hmm. right, as people get promoted up and through the organization. So, you know, when you start talking about the specific components of being a good supervisor and building trust and that emotional intelligence that you're talking about, you know, that's really critical to organizational success, because people stay, right, when they feel trusted and valued and mm-hmm. and a key piece of the organization. So building that credibility from your supervisors, and especially as you're moving people through the talent pipeline, moving them up through mm-hmm. the organization is always really critical.
Mm-hmm. So Harley, if our listeners could take away one thing from our conversation today to get a program like this started, what would you tell them? What have you learned either through success or failure or connecting with community resources?
Well, I really think it's about making those connections with other people. I don't think we could have done all of the work that we've done personally within our business without working with people like Susan Jentz from the United Way in Dodge County, or working with the Department of Workforce Development in Dodge County and their entire board, or working with just the people in Watertown who are currently helping us out with our childcare endeavor. It's really these groups all coming together thinking, hey, we see a problem here and we all want to work together to fix it. That's really the heart of it. So reaching out to those people who are probably all experiencing similar issues to yourself and trying to work together to create solutions as a team and as a community, as opposed to just trying to figure these things out on your own, is always going to be much more viable.
Thank you. You mentioned a lot of great resources today and shared a lot of great information with our listeners on the podcast today. Your investment working with Marine Park on utilizing our resources and different training opportunities and growing your people internally, I really applaud what you have done and what you continue to do to serve your people. So with that, we are going to close off for today. If our listeners are interested in subscribing or hearing about additional podcasts, you can visit our website at marinepark.edu/newsletter to sign up for our upcoming training opportunities and hear about future Talent Talk podcasts. With that, we conclude today's podcast and wish everyone a wonderful day.